beautiful psalm, but I'm only going to read about the first three verses of it. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, and reading through about the middle of verse 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you today that we have your word in our hands. We thank you for the light that comes from your truth. We thank you for the many, many blessings you have showered us with, and God, the opportunities that come our way day by day. You have richly blessed us, and you've been a great God and a wonderful Savior. And in your kindness and mercy, why, we see the light of this day. I pray that you would touch every heart and life that listens to the sound of my voice. I pray that your Holy Spirit would touch lost people that they might believe and be saved. I pray it would touch every child of God that we might marvel in your love and mercy. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak, to preach that only you can give. I ask these things in Jesus' name. You ever wonder why you believe? Has it ever come across your mind, why do I believe? Why are there some other people out there that don't believe and I believe? You know, I think about it a lot of times because for 40 years I've been dealing with what people believe or don't believe. And I talk to people about what they believe or what they don't believe. Why they believe what they believe. And you know, as I look at this book, and I'm a believer. I am a Bible believer. Somewhere a long time ago, I made up my mind this book was true. It was the Word of God, and that I would bank my eternity, I would bet my family's future on what this book had to say. That's what I made up my mind a long, long time ago. But you know, you sometimes go down the line and you sort of forget the arguments. Some of you can bring up some things that I've taken a stand on years ago. I've done forgotten the argument. I've even forgotten the reasons I took the stand, you know. I'd have to restudy the whole thing out. I'm getting a little old. It's advanced Alzheimer's, I know. But it's coming, you know. I'm headed for a grave or a nursing home just like you are. You may be a little further from it than I am, but that's exactly where all of us are headed. I mean, that's what life's all about. You have some opportunity. Some of us get 20 years of life. Some of us get 40, and some get 70 or 80. But not everybody gets the same thing. It just doesn't happen that way. You have your opportunities. You have your blessings. We don't all have the same blessings, nor all have the same opportunities. But yet God Almighty has given you an opportunity today that he lets you live to today where you could come and get into this fellowship today. Somebody invited you. Somebody brought you. Somebody cared for you. Somebody said, come with me. Let's go to the house of God and hear the Word of God. Why do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? Well, you know, this verse right here, is this psalm always blessed me. It's a tremendous psalm. It says, the heavens declare. The heavens declare. Have you ever looked out at the heavens and seen them declaring? I have. The heavens do declare. I had one period of time in my life where I really got interested in astronomy. I just really studied a lot on astronomy, and it was amazing what I found out. And I found out how big this universe is, and it's so big that when we stretch it with our greatest telescopes, you can take the Hubble that's out there in space. You can take any telescope that we have in the world, and the further out you reach with that lens, the more stars you see. And many of those that you see as stars, call stars, they're not stars at all, they're galaxies. Hundreds of millions of light years away. There are stars out there so big they cannot pass between the earth and the sun without hitting both of them. There is a star so big out there that you could fit our sun and all its planets in their orbit within the circumference of that one star. That blows my mind. How big is your God? My God gets bigger all the time. I look at the heavens and I see that, man, we can date our calendars on the sun and the moon. We can make our calendars on the sun and the moon much more accurate than what you can do with all your mathematics, unless you sort of divide your little minutes down and change your days year after year. We've got to make corrections all the time in all of our mathematics. But the sun and the moon, they got it right. You know, every time I throw a ball up, it comes down. I have never been able to throw a ball high enough, it didn't come down. It always comes down. Why? God. God. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech. And this speech, this knowledge, this wisdom, this declaration has gone all over the world. Study the cultures of the world, all around the world, and you will find they are all believers in God. They may have a different name for their God or their gods. Many of them believe in many gods. But you can go back to the most primitive man in the rainforest of the Amazon in South America, and he believes in God. He believes there is some kind of being bigger than himself that made the things that are, and it's overlooking those things. And you can take that all the way back through history. Did you know the only atheist or agnostic that you'll find in the world had to be taught out of their belief in God? Why? Because the most logical explanation for everything you can see is God. It's the simplest explanation. It's the logical explanation. It's the historical explanation. Now, we hear a lot about evolution. If you have a Reader's Digest, you read evolution on every page. If you go to school and get in a science class, you're going to read evolution over and over again. If you watch some of the specials on TV, you'll hear evolution taught just as if it were not a theory. Oh, they'll have the word theory in there, but they don't teach it like it's a theory. But it is a theory. You know what a theory is? It's an unproven statement. You make a statement. It's not proven, so I make the statement, and we'll see if we can't prove it. There are only really two big answers to how the world got here, how you got here, where life came from, and that's God, creation, or evolution. There was in the distant past, where there was nothing, something came together and exploded into a lot of things. They all fell together, and we ended up with these hundreds of millions of light years of stars and planets and animals and all of these things. I say to you, and I've said it before, I'll be saying it again for a long time, it takes a lot more faith to believe evolution than it does to believe the first four words of the Bible. The Bible says, in the beginning, God. That's the first four words. You believe those first four words, you don't have a problem with anything else in the book. If you doubt those first four words, you're going to have problems all the way through the book. And you're going to have problems all the way through life. You're going to have lots of problems in life trying to figure these things out. Why in the world would anybody, choose to believe evolution? Number one, the reason why many of you have had that choice and problem is because somebody taught it to you. Oh, I understand you're a kid. You go to school, you read a book, you see this great scientist. A guy's got a PhD and a THD behind his name and a bunch of other letters, and he teaches at a university somewhere, and he's Dr. Doodle Digger from Poteet High. And he tells you there is no God, there never was a God, there was just a big bang somewhere back in history, and all these things just came about over the eons and eons and ages of time. And we're all evolving, and man so far the greatest evolution. And you love this man, and you listen to him, or maybe it's your daddy or your mama. And you ask them, how'd these things be? And they tell you, but You see, they were taught also. Where does it come from? There's only one reason why you would reject your senses. There's only one reason why you would reject the evidence in front of you. There's only one reason why you would reject the evidence of all history. It's because you did not want to believe God. You want God out of your mind. You reject God, then how do you get chickens producing eggs that produce chickens that produce eggs that produce chickens that produce eggs? How do you get it? You know the old story, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't have a problem with that. I know. God made chickens. He didn't create little babies or little embryos. He made Adam and Eve. Now, simply, I want to say a few things just about evolution, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on it, but there's just a couple of things I want you to understand. Evolution is a theory. It's the theory of evolution. It has never been proved a single time in even one instance. There is no proof of evolution, no matter what your college textbook says, or your high school science book says, or what they tell you on the TV. Evolution has never been proven. Let me tell you something else. It's not only an unproven theory, it is unprovable. It is absolutely unprovable. The simple reason, it starts in error. It starts saying there is no God, we got to find another explanation, and that, number one, sets it off to the wrong foot to start with. It never stands a chance. It never will stand a chance. To get the theory of evolution to work, you must have many missing links. You got to have the missing link that goes between the amoeba and the protozoa to the invertebrate animal. In all our fossils, in all our study, and in all of recorded history, we've recorded history for about 6,000 years. History is the written record of mankind. Anything not written is prehistoric. We've recorded history for 6,000 years. We've had scientists running around pulling up fossils over all sorts of things. There's never been one missing link found. But let me tell you what happens in history. In history, if you mate a jackass to a horse, you get a mule. All right, it's a very good animal. Let's just start breeding mules. Is there a problem with that? Mules don't reproduce, nor do any of the other mutations. I had a man when I was in the service, he had two thumbs. He had six fingers on his hand. But none of his kids did. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Animals in all of history have been reproducing after their own kind. Evolution within a species, let's say dogs, well, that's easy to see. If I get black dogs and made them only the black dogs, and then I get big black dogs and made them only the big black dogs, then I'm gradually going to keep moving them out till I've got something comes out black almost every time. If I take cows and I make certain characteristics in the cows and over a period of time, then we got all these different kinds of cows and all these different kinds of dogs. But we haven't had a dog turn into a cow yet. Not in all of recorded history. That's 6,000 years. We haven't had a dog mate with a cow and have anything happen. What I'm telling you, there are 12 great phyla of life. There are no missing links going in between them. It takes 12 times as much faith to believe in evolution as it does to believe the simple statement, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That brings up one law, and I think they're sort of my laws, and I've used them on science teachers. I used to debate some of the scientists. Oh, we don't want to debate you because you're going to use the Bible. I said, I won't even use the Bible. I don't need the Bible. You guys got such an idiotic theory. I don't need the Bible. Common sense and a little bit of history will tell you what I'm going to tell you. And the first law is the law of kind. Everything reproduces after its own kind. For 6,000 years of recorded history, chickens reproduce chickens. Now, you can get a lot of different kinds of chickens out of crossbreeding and controlled breeding of chickens, but chickens still reproduce chickens, and horses reproduce horses. Man, you can get one horse that's a big old Clydesdale, and you can get another horse that's a quarter horse and a race horse down the road, and all of them came out of horse. And if you turn them all loose, they'd all go back to horse. But they're not going to change to anything else. A simple law that you see every day is proven to you every day of the year and has been for 6,000 years. Chickens reproduce chickens. Horses reproduce horses. Men reproduce men. Is that a law? Is that scientific? It's very scientific. Put it in a laboratory and study. Check it out by history. You won't find anything that's going to violate that. Let me give you another law. The law of life. The law of life. Now we all know Dr. Frankenstein and his monster who got called Frankenstein. And hey, there's a pretty good idea here. The guy is actually working with human flesh. And he takes a leg from one grave site, and he takes an arm from another grave site, and a brain from another grave site, and he sews it all together and charges it with electricity. Bang! Zap! And the monster comes out. And you've all been scared. Ooh! Some of you dream bad dreams at night because of the mummy, or the mummy that's 3,000 years old and comes up out of the muddy bog, or Dr. Frankenstein and his monster running down through the thing. Recently, they've done a marvelous, marvelous thing as far as I'm concerned. It fascinates me. They have cloned a sheep. I believe they might be able to clone a human being. But you can't create life unless you get it from life. Hey, how about something that's scientific? How about something you can prove in the laboratory? How about something that every piece of written history will prove? Life only comes from life. Those are my two reasons that just simply, if I did not believe this Bible, if I did not believe the testimony of Jesus Christ, if I wanted to run to the world and live like the devil himself, I could not believe in evolution. I think it is the most foolish thing educated men ever decided to follow. But do you know the reason why? They did not like what the heavens told them. The heavens declare the glory of God. They did not like what the earth told them. The earth declares the glory of God. I have here a watch. It's sort of a funny watch. Many of you laugh at me about it. I understand. It's a watch on a keychain. That's simply because I don't like jewelry. I don't like anything on my arm. So I bought an $18 Timex, me and George Bush. I mean, I like being in with the president, you know. If the president can use an $18 Timex, I think I can too. Anyway, I'm not advertising Timex, although they've done me pretty good. You see that? Not worth a whole lot of money. Not even an hour's wage for some of you. You know what that thing does? It doesn't have any bells and whistles on it. It does not tell me what day of the year it is. It doesn't beep when the half hour comes and when the hour comes. You know the only thing this thing does? It tells me what time it is. That's all. But let me tell you something else. This is a testimony to. It's a testimony to a watchmaker. Would you believe, even if I were Mr. Ph.D., Ph.D., and LL.D., and a few other D's hanging on the back of my name, and I've been to college for 45 years, and I had the smartest IQ in the country, would you believe that all these parts were just dropped in a mixer, and it was mixed for 500 years, and when it popped out with no human invention, with no intelligence, no brain power, nothing else, when it popped out, it was a watch that kept time? Huh? That's what they're asking you to believe. That's what they're demanding that you believe, or else you're some sort of an idiot. I could no more believe that than, excuse me, that the Encyclopedia Britannica came out of an explosion in the print section. Are you with me? This is a testimony to intelligence. It has a purpose. It has a use. I can use it. It does me good. It does something I need. It helps me get places on time. Not like some of you. You ought to get one of these. You get to church on time. This thing shows intelligence. It is a testimony to intelligence every day. You know what? When it goes wrong, you know where I take it? I don't take it out to Hillam's Auto. I take it to a watchmaker. I take it to a watchmaker, a guy that knows how to build watches. If he knows how to build them, he ought to know how to repair them. You walk out there and take a look at that, those air conditioning. We've got four great big units over here, and we've got about four other units over on that other part of the building over there. And do you know what? They do something we all like. Some of you think it's too cold in here. I understand. But it's still, I'm still sweating, so it's not quite. We can't hang meat in here yet, so it's not at my temperature. You know what those air conditioning systems do? We go pay them, man. We pay them a whole lot of money to go out there and make that system, then take it out there and set it up, and then hook it up. And you know what? We have cool air when we want it. And we have heat when we want it. It has purpose. It has use. There is intelligence behind it, an awful lot of intelligence. It fascinates me that they can get Freon, run it through pressure, and it gets cold, so cold, it'll cool the air inside this room in here. Doesn't that fascinate you? Every time I look down at a scorpion or a snake, or every time I look at the insects around, every time I read one of these specials or some book that tells me about new insects being found or new kind of fish being found, I'm fascinated with my God. I glory in my God. And when I look at men and women, and I look at that little 3-pound computer you got sitting inside that cranium of yours, and I see all the interest, all the attitude, all of the beliefs, all of the abilities. I'm fascinated. Not only do the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth shows His glory, and all of His creation testifies there is a great, big, super mind. Oil powerful mind out there that brought this into existence. It could not be other. I have a hard time writing my name the same way twice in a row. I just have a hard time doing it. I know how to spell it. It doesn't come out the same way. Yours doesn't either. They tell me no two of us right away. No two fingerprints alike. No two voice prints alike. No two eye prints alike. No two footprints alike. No two brain waves alike. Did I tell you something? It's fascinating. All of us have two eyes, a nose and two nostrils, and a mouth, and yet we all look alike. But we all look a little different, don't we? We all got the same religion. Let me tell you something. That didn't happen because of some idiot somewhere. And it certainly didn't happen by chance. Common sense. Common sense. What any African native that doesn't know how to read or write can understand, something bigger than me created me. Something bigger than me. Something smarter than me. Something more powerful than me created me. God created your father Adam and your mother Eve. And from that day to this, God's creation has been rolling right along just like He set it into motion. Creation is the only logical and the only reasonable explanation of anything you see out here. And anything else, my friend, is a creation of the imagination of those who hate to acknowledge God. Now, let's go back there for just a minute. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. You just can't walk through this world without seeing God on every hand. Every time you turn around, you see what God has done, what God had to have done. It took a great big mind, a superpower, and someone with the ability and the desire to do it. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. All around the world, the testimony is, there is a God, there is a Creator God, and that God put this into existence. You just have to believe in God if you have any common sense about you at all, and you haven't been educated out of it by unbelievers. Turn over to Psalm 14. Now, you may think I'm a little harsh on some of my professors. Well, I got a lot of college hours, kids. I may sound like a country hick from the Central Texas, and that's what I am. But boy, I've sat in a whole lot of classrooms. I've listened to the biggest idiots in the world. And I listen to some mighty smart men, too. But you know, I got a little verse here I want you to look at. Psalm 14:1. Here's what David had to say. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, the Bible tells us to be charitable to people. We're not really supposed to go around and just call people fools for anything. But you know what God said? God said, you know, some professor is up there talking about no God, and laughs at God and all this other like that. Say, you know, the Bible speaks about you. That's right. It speaks in actually two psalms. I think it's the 14th and maybe the 52nd or 53rd, something like that. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I want you to notice, it says the fool has said in his heart. You know, there are lots of fools walking around the world that down in their heart, they don't say it with their mouth, down in their heart, they say, there is no God. God's never going to catch me. Ah, payday's never going to come my way. I don't have to worry about anything because there is no God, there is no judgment, there is no hell, and there is no heaven, but I'm not going to say it to them. They just believe it down in their heart. And the God tells, God says, they're fools. You know what an atheist does? He says it with his mouth out loud. Out loud, he said, there is no God, there's only evolution, and there's only man. The atheist actually says it out loud with his mouth. How big a fool is he? He's an even bigger fool than the one that says it within his heart. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because everything around you testifies that there is a God. There is a Creator God. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the only reason why you would have been taught that, or anybody else would teach that, is they want to reject God within their minds. Hey. Let's look in the New Testament and see what Paul has to say. He's talking about somewhat the same thing. Notice. Verse 20, Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Is that plain? You know what the Bible says? You ought to be able to see it. You ought to be able to see it. I grew up, my father owned a farm on the Lampasas River, and many a night when I was a young boy, just camped and slept on the river and fished and hunted and whatever. And I can remember one night, a couple of cousins of mine, we were down on the river and we were fishing and we were just laying out on some. We didn't have sleeping bags in those days. They didn't wear face masks when I played football, I guess you can tell. But we didn't have sleeping bags in those days. We just had a blanket, you know. Grandma would give us a blanket. We'd go down there and throw the blanket down on the rocks and you'd sleep and fish and have a great time. And I remember one night, we were laying there and about midnight, the heavens began to fall. I'm telling you, I saw the greatest shower of falling stars I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen anything equal in all these rest of these years that I've lived. We begin to watch in one kingdom, and then another kingdom, and then they just begin to streak and streak. And my cousins and I just sat up. We couldn't go to sleep. We just had to watch those stars, those meteorites coming down in the middle of the night, about midnight, just falling. There's no lights around anywhere. We're down on a river, man, right on a river bank, and a gravel bar, and watching those stars fall. And I wondered about them, man. The fool that said in his heart, there is no God. You don't get outside this thing. Do you realize we've never found life anywhere else besides this one minor planet in this one minor galaxy in all that universe? God Almighty put this thing here, put it into motion, and let you be born on it, and gave you a chance, to hear the gospel and get saved. Foolish said in his heart, there is no God. Look what he says here. For the invisible things of him are of the, from the creation of... Oh, let me start all over. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Did you hear what that said? That verse put it all down into a nutshell, my friend. It is clearly seen by the things that are made that there is an eternal Godhead. There is an intelligent God. There is an all-powerful God. There is a God that put this thing into existence. There is a God that keeps it running. And there's a God that's interested in you. And if you would just open your eyes and look in your front yard or your backyard or look up to the sky or take a look at your husband or wife or your children, you know. It'd be clearly seen, this mighty, intelligent, wonderful being called God spoke it all into existence. He said it's clearly seen. Then he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I have listened to college professors who thought anybody that believed what I believed was an absolute fool. And you know, I read my Bible an awful lot when I first got saved. And these verses would come into my mind. When they were thinking how foolish I was thinking how they were professing themselves to be wise and becoming fools. Too smart. Too smart for God. Too smart for belief. Too smart to trust the Word of God. Too smart to trust your eyes. Too smart to trust history. Too smart to trust everything you can see and feel and touch and know. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And it says the reason for it was because when they knew God, when they had an opportunity to see God, when their eyes looked out and saw chickens reproducing chickens from a creation, and humans reproducing humans from a creation, and trees growing in wonderful, marvelous ways, and the whole earth itself alive with all sorts of life, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. He said, we don't want to be thankful. We don't want to answer to Him. And the best thing we can do is put Him out of our mind. So they sought another way. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And look down at verse 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what you can do, my friend? You can say no to God long enough, and God will let you. You can say there is no God long enough till you fool yourself and maybe some around you, and God will let you. You can reject the God of heaven because He does not force His way. He knocks at the door of your heart. He wants you to open up the door by faith. Faith's always the answer. Faith is the answer to every response to God. It's to believe and trust and simply move upon that belief and that trust. When I got saved, I didn't understand a whole lot. I had been taught that if you would repent of your sins, no matter how wicked you'd been, and you'd call upon God and ask for mercy, He'd have mercy on anything. That was the kind of God that I was taught there was. You know,
in the front bedroom of a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico, on the last night of August 1957, and through to the morning of September 1st, 1957. I did that. I just called on God. God, I know you're out there. I can't believe this evolution shift. I know there's a God. I've heard you're a merciful God. I heard that you would save my soul if I'd call upon you. And I called upon him and he did it. That changed my life, my wife's life, my family's life, and some of your life. Man, are you at the point of rejecting God? Could there be anybody in the sound of my voice? You're at the point of saying, I don't see God. I don't feel God. I don't know God. I don't want God. Be real careful. Be real careful how you answer God. Be real careful how you respond to God. Be real careful how you treat the Word of God. Be real careful how you treat what you see with your eyes and feel with your hands and know with your heart. Be real careful. This first chapter of Romans tells us about people who knew God, saw God, recognized God, and rejected God. Wanted to put him out of their mind. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind. That's a mind without God. You think you can do bad things now? See what will happen when that happens. Well, I want to say to you, my friend, I think the most reasonable response that any intelligent man could possibly have when he looks at the universe or looks at the world or looks at mankind is to believe there has to be a God. Well, I want to declare unto you the name of that God. His name is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 tells you he is the creator of the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, the Jewish people, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to believe on his name. There is a way, my friend, you can know the creator of the universe, know him as your Savior, know him as your friend, know him as your Lord, know him as your brother throughout all eternity. If you look right at verse 16 in Romans chapter 1, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I am not ashamed to stand up in anybody's classroom, on television, or downtown in the street and say, I believe in God. I don't believe in what the world teaches. I don't believe in evolution. I believe there is a God, the Creator God, that created this world and everything that's on it. By Him all things consist and hold together. And that God is Jesus Christ. I'm not powerful enough to persuade you or to convince you to be saved. Neither is anybody else. But let me tell you something. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know what the gospel of Christ is? The great good news is that Christ died for you. God Himself took upon Himself human flesh, lived a perfect life before the law, which none of you could do and nobody since Adam had ever done, went to the cross of Calvary and paid the one last finished sacrifice for sins forever. Yes, sir, he'll never have to bleed again. They'll never put a crown of thorns in his head again. When he comes again, it's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the absolute judge of all the earth. He was a meek and a suffering servant and a Savior when he came before. When he comes back, he's a Lamb of the tribe of Judah. He comes back to rule and to reign. And if you want to get saved now. Don't think about waiting until you see a sign in the air. It'll be too late. God Almighty has put it down that the just shall live by faith. And the only way you'll ever get saved is by faith. And it's not faith in faith. It's faith in what God has said. God has said He loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He that believeth on the Son has present tense, right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the thing I'm the most proud of in all my life. I don't know of anything I'm more pleased with than the good news that Christ died for you and Christ died for me and He paid my debt fully and He offers me salvation, eternal life, heaven forever, Jesus as my brother for all eternity. The best thing I ever knew was life. I've never known anything better than life. Every joy I have comes because I'm alive. God offered me eternal life. God offers you eternal life today. Man, a woman, boy, girl, I don't care how good you are, where you are. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of athlete you are. I don't care if you're going to be better than Michael Jordan. You need life. None of it will compare to having your soul forgiven, saved, sanctified, settled, sealed, and taken to glory for all eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel is good news. It's good news that Christ died for you. It's good news that God loves you. It's good news that He'll take you. Some of you walk around and think, well, I don't know whether I'll take that. You so big, you so smart, I don't know whether I'll take that. I dated a few girls like that. Man, I just don't know. Well, you know what I did? I just flipped the page and called another one. There's 3 billion of them out there. So one little old gal thought she was too good for me. Bless your heart. There's several others out there waiting. Ain't no big deal. You think you're so big, you don't have to trust God, you don't want God, you don't want to humble yourself? Who are you? Who are you? You think you're a 10 and you're a 2. Wake up and look in the mirror. That God would even want you is an amazing thing to me. That God Almighty would come down in mercy and die for you, you selfish, wretched thing. That God Almighty would give you invitation after invitation. How foolish can you be when the King of Heaven knocks on your heart's door by the Holy Spirit and has the gospel preached to you and the Bible placed in your hands and an invitation with His great word come? You ought to say, yes, thank you, Lord, that you even invite me. Thank you for such a great chance. I wake up every morning thankful I'm going to heaven and not going to hell. Did you know the majority, according to this book, are going to heaven? The majority. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. He said, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many which go therein. That's Jesus. He knows the end from the beginning. And He today gives you an invitation. Let me tell you what that invitation is. It's the gospel. And it's got enough power in it. It'll change your life. It'll change mine. It'll change yours. Why don't you take a step of faith? Step out of that chair. Get on your face and ask God to forgive your sin. Have mercy on you. Save your soul. He will. That's the great invitation. He will. You and your pride, you and your foolishness have rejected God long enough. You know better. Everything you see tells you there's a God. Every person you look at tells you there's a God. Everything the heavens declare, the glory of God, the firmament sure of His handiwork, day unto day utter a speech. Every day you are bombarded with the wisdom and the power and the majesty and the might and the eternity of the Godhead. Humble yourself. Come to Jesus Christ and ask Him to have mercy upon you and save your soul. We're going to sing number 249. If you're here and God's spoken to your heart in any way, I invite you to come. This invitation is open. It's open for you, Christian friend, if the Lord's spoken to you. But you, my friend, if you're here without Jesus Christ and you know it and the Holy Spirit's revealed it to you, come to Him today. Come to the Savior. Let Him save your soul. Come to Him and let Him forgive your sins. Come to Him and let Him love you. He'll forgive you. He'll save you. He'll change you. And He can do it in a moment. Will you come to Christ as this thing? Sing it out. come. My dear friend, will you come? Telephone him. Will you come? Will you call? If you come, he'll save you. If you call upon him, he'll save you. He'll have mercy because he's a merciful God. You're here without Christ, don't walk out the doors without Jesus. Humble yourself. Ask God to have mercy upon you. Will you say it with your heart? Oh, Lamb, I'll come. Oh, Lamb of God, I'll come. Jesus, I come. Will you come? You're here without Christ today. You need a Savior. Will you come? Will you let him have his way in your heart today? Will you come to Jesus today? Will you be saved? Be saved today. Father, how we thank you for the glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We praise your name, that we've had an opportunity to hear it, and that we've believed it, and we've been assured of it. And I pray, dear Lord, for every child of God here, they'd be rejoicing in their salvation and in their Savior this day. I pray that you'd hear and answer the prayers that have been prayed in this place today, this morning. And I pray for anyone here that has not accepted Christ as yet, God, I pray that you will draw them to yourself and save them before it's eternally too late. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.